Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. It is a Thursday that features not one, but two NFL preseason games to fully kick off week number one of the National Football League postseason. A doubleheader on a Thursday. It feels like football in New England. It's the Patriots playing host to the Panthers. The Pats, a 6.5-point favorite with a total of 33 and a hook. And it's been feisty at joint practices this week in New Jersey between the New York Giants and the Detroit Lions. The G-Men, a 3.5-point favorite tonight in MetLife with a total of 34.5 against the Detroit Lions. Plenty to get to here in hour number two. We'll go all around the National Football League with many NFL conversations and some more Olympic coverage in this second hour as well.
Yeah, what is nice, too, you take a look at tonight, you got a doubleheader in the NFL for the preseason, and you got a three-pack there on a Friday night, a full slate there on the Saturday, even some games on a Sunday. So you do have an action-packed weekend where it's not all just condensed into one night here, so you like to sort of play it out. And also, I'm still interested to see, we're going to get more and more looks at this new onside kick slash kickoff rule that you're going to be putting in place. So I'm going to be watching tonight, tuned in here, both games at 7 o'clock, might be dipping in, might be watching a little Major League Baseball. So good night set ahead for us tonight. No doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely so. A pretty good Thursday in MLB as a marquee matchup continues with Arizona and Philadelphia for a four-game set extending through the weekend out in the desert. DRS, let's start with the one of two games that we have tonight on a Thursday in NFL preseason action. But these two teams, that being the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants, pretty familiar with one another. Multiple joint practices this week at Giants camp, but things have been anything but friendly. We have seen multiple joint practice fights between these two sides. You mentioned Malik Nabers a couple of days ago, goes back and slaps somebody, and Kirby Joseph comes right up to his face and starts to get involved. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, getting in the middle of a couple of these scuffles throughout this week of joint practices as well, which has led to a fighting fine on behalf of the National Football League. Both Detroit and New York as organizations fined $200,000 because of the joint practice fights, because the NFL sent out a memo earlier this month trying to make sure there would not be any practice fights and conduct unprofessional to the National Football League.
There are always going to be fights in these joint practices because why? You can get away with it. And you say, well, why does it happen now and not in the games? Because you try that in a game, you're not playing for 4 weeks. Imagine if the NFL had the same stringent requirements by going. Now, granted, sometimes when you're just practicing yourself, you're going to get fights there. You separate it, just teammates there. But let's just say the NFL had the same requirements for a joint scrimmage and goes, all right, we got the tapes out there. Oh, you threw two punches? Yeah, you're going to miss the first two games of the regular season. Nobody would fight at that point. But I also mind it. You just don't want to make a mockery of it, because you are going to have multiple times where offensive linemen in 90-degree temperatures going against defensive linemen, things get chippy. You know, you're not calling holding penalties. I'm trying to get to the quarterback. You're holding me. There's a late hit or two on this side. Things are always going to happen. But what the NFL doesn't want is the mockery of it all. Like, football is not ingrained. Like, hey, hockey, they're going to fight. Well, that's ingrained in the sport here. It's not ingrained in football. And I'm sure the NFL does get a little bit embarrassed when it comes out. Us, the fans, we love to watch it on a day-to-day basis. Like, hey, look at this. Two teams getting chippy. Let's see what actually happens here. But the NFL doesn't want that. But again, they're not going to come into the practice and say two-game suspension during the regular season. They just dole out the fines with the NFL teams play, and they move on. And you always hear it on a day-to-day basis. The coaches aren't saying, let's get out here and start some scrums. Like, look, treat the other guy with respect here. If it gets chippy, you always want your teammates back. They understand that. We just don't want to have guys taking off their helmets and swinging on people with them.
Yeah, absolutely so, right? You can get intense. You can have that passion. It's the first time in a joint practice that you see somebody else that is not on your team or in your locker room throughout the duration of training camp. We gave our thoughts on if joint practices are tiring, if joint practice fights are tired or if they're a little bit out of date at this moment. Both you and I, DRS, kind of believe that it's just part of what training camp is at these joint practices. And there is not the necessary consequence to it that you would have for smacking somebody in the face during an actual NFL regular season game, a 15-yard penalty and probably getting punched out of the game as well. So I would just say that when it comes to this, yes, there is the consequence of that penalty and the fine of financial value to your franchise, but nothing these owners cannot front. However, you can't see that hostility carry over tonight into the preseason, because then there are the yellow laundry that will be featured on the field. It's a 3.5-point number in favor of the New York Giants. 34.5 is the total. This within the last hour from Jordan Rannan, if that's how you pronounce his last name, Rannan, whatever it is, the Giants ESPN NFL reporter, that many of the starters, Daniel Jones, even the rookie Malik Nabers, not expected to play tonight. We know Jared Goff is not going to play tonight for Detroit, so a lot of backups in this game between the G-men and the Lions.
Yeah, I never really have true handicaps on these games. I understand that people just looking at the quarterback depth charts and who's supposed to play, probably the best way to figure it out. But it's just hard. Like, again, 33.5, 34.5 totals, 3.5. You basically, for me, hey, Donnie, who are you going to take? I don't know who's playing. Just give me the points at this point. So that's the way I would lean towards it. I am interested just to see some of these guys on the field, but more particularly, as I said, how it plays out there with the special teams. But outside of that, week number one in the preseason, fun just to watch your team out there, even though nobody is there. Week number two, maybe get a little bit of a sneak peek, but just dating back 15, 20 years in the NFL, you'd really take the time here. Even when we're talking about like fantasy drafts, like, hey, let me get a look at this one guy's going to get probably 25 to 30 carries in the preseason. That's no longer the case. It's just a crapshoot. You're reading beat writers' reports on a day-to-day practice basis as opposed to looking at games anymore at this point, because you don't really get out. And also, from a coach's perspective, Ben, they tell you right to your face. We get way more out of these joint scrimmages than we ever get for the preseason games themselves.
And it's part of one of the reasons the joint practices leading up to a preseason game have that intensity. It's the only time you see ones versus ones. We saw a lot of clips out of joint practice of Penei Sewell, the second highest paid O-lineman in the National Football League now, behind Tristan Wirfs and I think Christian Darrisaw, so maybe even the third highest paid guy, but got that extension early this offseason from Brad Holmes in the Motor City, manhandling Kayvon Thibodeau of the New York Giants, who talked about it afterwards, saying, the only thing I'm scared of is those practice images of Penei Sewell absolutely dominating us. But we're probably not going to see Sewell or Thibodeau tonight in that matchup between the New York Giants and the Detroit Lions. So it's an opportunity for a coaching mentality. You know, Dan Campbell, regardless of who is out there, is going to bring that emotion and fire even to a preseason game. The Lions 2-1 last preseason, the Giants 1-2. But it's also a glimpse at these organizations as they get ready for a new year and the expectation that follows. The Lions win total 10.5, double-digit victories expected. The over has the juice. They are the favorites to win the NFC North for a second consecutive year. That would be more divisional titles in the past 2 years, two that the Lions had in the last 30-0 around the National Football League.
Yeah, things are looking up in Detroit. It's a really good ball club here. They paid their guys, but the most important thing sometimes is not the actual players on the field. You kept, which I think is maybe the best individual offensive coordinator in the NFL, on your sideline in Ben Johnson. That camaraderie is going to go a long way this season. We're expecting big things from the Lions, but having said that too, you're looking at the Lions, where typically in the past, like, hey, I wonder if the Lions can do good. Here they come. Now the Lions are that team that nobody is going to be getting taken advantage of. Like, oh, I didn't think the Lions were going to be that good when we played them at this point. Bullseye on the Lions to see how they handle it this season. But I'm still expecting big things. Everything is there in place for them to have another good season.
Yeah, absolutely so. A historic campaign in 2023. First divisional crown in three decades. First playoff win and NFC championship game appearance in 32 years. The Giants, a different set of expectation, as Donnie and I discussed earlier this week. What exactly is the future of Daniel Jones in this organization? What exactly is the franchise's future with the head coach Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, despite winning a playoff game just 2 years ago? More around the NFL and training camp up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on this Thursday, a Thursday that features a doubleheader of NFL preseason action. Two games to fully kick off week number one of the preseason around the National Football League. And shout out to Sports Grid, always doing great, great work. You can look at a list that Sports Grid has. Go to Sports Grid on Twitter of the top eight worst active NFL head coaches against the number in preseason games. Of course, varying levels of a sample size, but one of the guys featured tonight, Brian Daboll, who is 0-6 against the number in his two preseasons now as the head man of the New York Giants. Of course, the G-men, a 3.5-point favorite against the Detroit Lions tonight. So now let's take a look at the National Football League DRS beyond the preseason for the entirety of the regular season. And a trend that has been longstanding around the NFL for the better part of the last two decades, a team that finishes dead last in a division looking to win the division the year following. Here are the teams that finished in last in the AFC. Who will go worst to first? Now, all four teams in the AFC North finished with a winning record, so the Bengals, technically at 9-8, did finish in last. Second best price to win the AFC North this year with the expectation of a fully healthy Joe Burrow. The Chargers in last year in the AFC West. The Titans finishing in the cellar of the AFC South. And the Patriots just 4-13, but still the longest price to win the AFC East this year. Out of that group, Donnie, I would think the Bengals get your eye, but who do you think has the best chance to go worst to first from last season to this year in 2024?
Yeah, it's got to be the Bengals. And also, forget about you're talking about Joe Burrow. Let's just say if he's healthy, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, that should help, obviously. But you are taking a look at regime changes on most of these franchises. The Bengals don't have a regime change. Yes, they lost their offensive coordinator, but still the head coach is there. The quarterback is there. The wide receivers technically are still there. But the Chargers, what did they do? New head coach. The Titans, what did they do? Yeah. New head coach. Patriots, what did they do, Ben? New head coach as well. It takes some time. Typically, you don't hit the ground running. And even in a case with the Chargers, 5-12 last year, we've always said, like, boy, I wonder if they can just get a competent coach that when everything around them is swirling and going bad, he can calm the waters here and get them to win football games and get them to sustain late. You figure the Chargers have that, but they didn't keep the same football team. I wanted to see the Chargers come into the season with the exact carbon copy roster they had last year with just a competent coach like we know Harbaugh will be. So that makes it a little bit tougher. And also, yes, you're not just going, hey, let's win this division because finally Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid retired in the same season. You still have to go up against the Chiefs. That's going to be hard enough. Yeah. The Titans, a lot of question marks, like what they did in the offseason. Hopkins injury, not going to help them, but you're banking on Will Levis and a brand new coach winning that division. That's going to be tough. The Patriots, we don't have to say anything more. The least talented franchise in the NFL by a wide margin. They're not winning anything in the East here. So if I'm looking at the Bengals' perspective, even though me, you know, I'm not high on on the Bengals of this list, by far it's the Bengals with the best chance to go from worst to first for me.
It is the simple answer. It is the easy answer. It is the correct answer based on trends. 19 of the last 21 NFL seasons, a team has finished worst in a division and makes their way all the way up to first. That's why we highlight these things here for you on this Thursday on the early line. For New England, a 24-1 price on the Patriots to win the AFC East division. It is the longest price of any team in any of the eight divisions around the National Football League. I think Tennessee will be right around that 6-7 win margin in a compelling AFC South, which was the division a year ago. In fact, has been the division each of the past 2 years. The Jaguars from worst in 2021 to divisional champ in 2022. The Texans worst in 2022 to divisional title winner in 2023. The Chiefs have won the AFC West 8 consecutive years. The Bolts do have the second best price, but Kansas City, strongest number of any team to win any of the 8 divisions around the NFL at minus 230. Here's what I'll say about the Chargers. They're not going to finish in dead last in the AFC West this year, but they're not going to unseat the Chiefs atop the AFC West as of right now. It's the Bengals, not only because of the trend, but if Joe Burrow is healthy, and he has played 16 of 17 games, two fully or almost fully healthy seasons for the Bengals in his four-year NFL career. In those two seasons, he has played at least 16 games in the regular season for Cincy. They have won the division. They have played at least in the AFC title game. And, of course, in 2021, they made it all the way to Super Bowl 56. If Joe Burrow plays 15-plus games, my pick to win the division is the Bengals. Thus, it would make them my pick to be the team to go from worst to first within the AFC.
That offense could cook. It certainly can, but also still a lot of things we're still waiting on as we head. Yep. What, August the 8th? We're going to start, let's just say, in roughly 1 month. A lot of things to decipher. Whether or not Joe Burrow truly is healthy and when he gets that game contact, we'll find out. Because even he's saying, look, that's a tough offseason where I can't really throw the football all that much. Now, we're not making any excuses for Burrow. If he's healthy, game number one, we expect big things right out of the gate. But also, where does Ja'Marr Chase factor into all of this? Is he going to even practice throughout the entirety of this offseason, which is amazing again that's still to this point. But it is simple to say, hey, look, the Bengals is a franchise never got. No, we saw them in the Super Bowl just a few short years ago out there in Los Angeles. The pedigree is, if Joe Burrow is heated up and he's cooking and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are happy and healthy on the field, they are going to do some damage. I guess you could say the wild card in this whole bunch probably is the Chargers, because you never want to underestimate a Jim Harbaugh team. I just don't know if they have the talent to go up against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs and unseat them. But the one thing we are expecting out of the Chargers is a competent franchise here, not getting out coached or collapsing on a week-to-week basis when it really matters.
Yeah, absolutely so. That's plagued the Chargers for a very, very long time. Yes. Prior to Brandon Staley, before Anthony Lynn, it's kind of been the Chargers' curse in San Diego and now, of course, Los Angeles. Jim Harbaugh, despite what you might think of him, despite what the NCAA says about him, is a program and organization builder at every level he has ever coached. FCS football at the University of San Diego, FBS football at Stanford, a dormant program in the Pac-10, then Pac-12, and of course at Michigan. He wins, he improves, and he does so right away. Take a look at his NFL coaching record with the San Francisco 49ers. The Chargers win total is 8.5. The over has the juice. I think it is a very fair and spot-on win total this year for LA. We had the conversation of worst to first in the AFC. Same story in the NFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Worst to first in the AFC, now in the NFC. There was a clear answer in the AFC. It's the Cincinnati Bengals, second best price in the AFC North. Without Joe Burrow for a good majority of last year, the Bengals still finished with a winning record at 9-8, but in the good AFC North, that was dead last. With Joe Burrow fully healthy in two of his four NFL seasons, the Bengals have won the divisional crown each of those 2 years. That seemed to be the obvious answer from Donnie and my assessment. Now we go to the NFC, where I'm not sure there's as clear of an answer. Here's the teams that finished in either dead last or a tie for last, which I guess is also a tie for third, but we'll save that conversation for another time. In the NFC North, both the Bears and the Vikings were 7-10 in the bottom of the division. The Panthers had the worst record in the National Football League in 2023, 2-15 in the NFC South. The Commanders just 4-13 in the NFC East. The Cardinals just 4-13 in the NFC West, but booked as an underdog in all 17 games. Arizona was 9-8 against the number. DRS for the teams that finished last year in the NFC, who has the best chance of finishing first this year around the conference?
It's kind of tough the way, again, because we had an easy out with the Bengals, because that's a legitimate Super Bowl contender masquerading with a lot of injuries last year, not performing in a very tough division where they have a chance to actually win it this year. But you take a look at the NFC and you say, which one of these teams could possibly do it? If you're looking on banking on the Cardinals, yes, it is going to help. They have Kyler Murray back from week one. He's not working his way back from a knee injury. He should be 100% to start the season. You got an epic town at wide receiver to start, but you are still in a division which quality football teams like the Rams, the Seattle Seahawks would be okay. And then certainly maybe the favorites overall would be the San Francisco 49ers. Let's just say Trent Williams comes back, and also Deebo Samuel's out there with Brandon Ayuk, and that offense is complete. We'll see how that is. So unless you're banking on, well, I think they can do good things, and I hope like the 49ers get injured, that's not a way to do it. We're not going to play it out that way. I don't think the Cardinals have a big chance here. If we're all looking at the Commanders last year, 4-13 rookie quarterback, yes, it's hard to win a division. Dallas has a lot of talent. Philadelphia has a lot of talent. First-year regime for Dan Quinn in Washington. We'll see how that one plays out. I don't really think they have a legitimate chance. Let's go to Chicago and Minnesota. A lot of talent on both of those football teams, but also you're dealing with upswing teams in the Detroit Lions, and also when you take a look at the Green Bay Packers. We expect them to be the top dogs of that division. But again, no slouch. Yeah. That's a very competitive division all the way through. I don't know if I pick them. Hear me out on this. I do think the Panthers are not going to have a good season. But sometimes you just have to take a step out here and say, new head coach here. Maybe Bryce Young appears to be that quarterback we thought he was, Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, and plays good football. Because quite frankly, am I real excited about the New Orleans Saints? No. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, more fluke than anything for me in a terrible division last year. And yes, you have the Atlanta Falcons, who I do think win that division with Kirk Cousins, but not a dominant program by any stretch. Yeah. Why can't the Panthers be somewhat competitive this season? And you might say, you're crazy, you can't do it, but we have to make a decision on, can any one of these have a slight path to it? And if I'm looking at maybe the deepest run, could it be the Panthers? Just because I don't think that division is all that good top to bottom, Ben.
And Donnie, I think that's a very fair argument to make, because when you look at the division as a whole the last few years, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers won the division in 2022 with a losing record. Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers won the divisional crown for a third consecutive year at 9-8. The Saints were also 9-8, and the other two teams, the Falcons and, of course, the Panthers, below 500. Now, Atlanta this year has sky-high optimism and expectation. With Kirk Cousins, there are an odds-on favorite. The win total is 9.5. The over has the juice. Atlanta expected to be a double-digit win team. I don't think Carolina is going to sniff more than 6 wins, but 5.5 is the win total for the Panthers. On that list, technically 5 teams were shown. 4 of the 5, a 10-1 price or longer to win a division. Only the Bears, a shorter number. I'll get to Chicago in a moment. 3 of those 5 prices, the longest in a division. Minnesota, Arizona, and Carolina. Washington at 10-1. Not the longest price in the NFC East. That's the New York Giants. But still, to get past either the Cowboys or the Eagles seems insurmountable for Washington. It's why my decision would be the Bears. Now, I don't believe Chicago is going to win the NFC North. But if you follow the odds, plus 330 to win the division. A relatively short price, 3rd out of 4 in that division. The Bears have an 8.5 win total. The over has the juice. Expected to be a winning team. Could that keep them in contention for a good part of the NFL regular season? Perhaps. That's why I would go with Chicago.
Yeah, no, it does make some sense, and certainly there is a high bar to clear here, because you're looking at that team yet last year from the Texans, trying to equate it to the Bears, catch lightning in a bottle. We'll find out.
We shall see. An Olympic assessment up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An Olympic assessment on this Thursday as we get ready for another full day of action at the Paris Summer Games. From Sporting News, Carlin Gay joins us live right here on this Thursday to set the stage for semifinal Thursday in men's basketball, following quarterfinal Wednesday in the women's hoops tournament as well. Carlin, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here, as always, on the Early Line.
Thanks, guys, for having me. And by the way, Ben, shout out to you. You got our producer in line. You know, he came, not only did he text me the time, normally it's like 9:30. He said 9:32. So I know you spoke to him. Donnie, you might have to check with HR to make sure that the chat wasn't over the line, honestly, because 9:32 is pretty pretty specific.
Well, we deleted the chat to make sure that nothing can get out there, so we're good. Yeah, we handled it.
That's good, yeah. That's what Donnie would do, Carlin. I was going to say, very kind of you to think that Donnie Wrightside has ever followed any HR protocol. He would go behind the scenes to make sure it would never see the light of day. All right, let's go to the Olympic basketball tournament that we have. We start first on the women's side. The United States makes it 59 consecutive victories at the Olympic Games with an 88-74 victory in quarterfinal action over Nigeria. 26.5-point spread, though, Carlin, in favor of the Americans. The Nigerians, a historic tournament, the first ever African nation, either men's or women's, to get to the quarterfinal round of the basketball tournament at the Olympic Games. So they do cover that spread, albeit in a losing effort. What did you make of the United States' performance yesterday to pick up a quarterfinal victory?
Honestly, through the first 3 minutes of the game when the score was tied at 4-4, I was wondering if the U.S. were going to continue that win streak, honestly, guys. Like, it was a little shaky there first 3 minutes of the game. And then Nafisa Collier scored a two-point basket, and the rest was history. So, honestly, all this is, you know, credit to Nigeria. As you said, first African nation to make it to the quarterfinals, men's or women's. They played terrific basketball throughout the Olympic Games and then had the measuring stick game for them, and they now know where to go next, right? Like, they know what the next level is for them if they plan on standing on the podium. But this is business as usual for Team USA. They're going to have the 60-game win streak, in the semifinals. They should have 61 wins by the time we're over with the Olympic Games. And honestly, I hope that America really appreciates what they're doing, because this is not easy. It's not only that the win streaks are being put together, it's that there are different teams being put together each Olympic Games, each Olympic cycles. And then they're winning these games in dominant fashion. Like, they're not close. Like, they're blowing these teams out. Yes, they didn't cover the 26-point game spread yesterday, but are we going to kill them for that? No, it's okay. They won by 14 pretty comfortably. So they are one of the most dominant teams and one of the most dominant programs in Olympic history. And when they do eventually lose a game, if it happens in our lifetime, it's going to be like Tyson Douglas, like, upset level, right? Like, it's going to be one of the biggest upsets we've ever seen in sports. And that's pretty incredible to say.
No doubt about it, Carlin, because you're watching them through, like, just thinking about it, like, where we were in 1992, the last time that they took a loss. It's absolutely incredible. Showing that dominance is fantastic. Let's flip it over to the men's side today, because we got business to get after. Serbia, Team USA, -16-point favorite right now live on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total of 188.5. Nikola Jokic is on the opposite side. Team USA already handled Serbia. What can we look forward to this rematch today, getting it fired up, Carlin?
I think Serbia will start better than they started in the first game that we saw Team USA play. Team USA, that was the first game of the tournament for them. They had something to prove going into that one, and they came out heavy, and they came out, you know, with the first quarter win in mind, so to speak. I think that's going to happen for Serbia in this one. So if I was going to lay money on this game, I'm taking Serbia to win the first quarter, because I do think that they are going to be able to compete with Team USA in quarter number one. Once the bench starts to come into play, that's where the Americans will break away. So the other three quarters, all Team USA all the way. This is going to be a pretty comfortable win for Team USA, and we should see them play in the finals for the gold medal.
I believe, if I am not mistaken, with Nikola Jokic on the floor for the Serbians in that opening Olympic game, they were close to even in terms of plus minus when he hit the bench. That's when the Americans really started to pull away. 110-84 in the first game for both of these nations in Olympic action. The Americans covered as a 13.5-point favorite, winning by 26. And in that game, Carlin, it was the first time this summer we had seen Kevin Durant in a Team USA uniform, part of his historic scoring streak that has now made him, for the United States in basketball, men's or women's, the all-time Olympic scoring lead, moving past Lisa Leslie in the matchup against Brazil earlier this week in the quarterfinals. He started off that opening half against the Serbians, a perfect 8 of 8 from the floor, a perfect 5 of 5 from 3, ended up with 23 points to lead all scorers. Who steps up for the U.S. today in the semifinal against Serbia?
I'm waiting for that Steph Curry game, guys. We haven't had it yet. It just hasn't shown up yet. And I know it's going to happen at some point. There's only two games left, so it kind of has to happen now for him. He hasn't had that Olympic moment. This is his first Olympic Games. If he goes out the way he's going out, kind of getting an A-plus on the group project right now, I don't think he would be happy with that performance. It's his first Olympic Games. We know Steph Curry likes the spotlight. We know he takes these moments seriously. This is a moment where he can knock down 5 or 6 threes and sort of have a moment where it's a Curry flurry. We haven't seen a Curry flurry yet. Today is the day. Whatever his point total is, just take the over. I have Steph Curry going over that. I truly believe he's going to have one of those Curry flurry type of games. And, I think the team kind of wants him to have that too, because everyone seems to have had their moment, minus Tyrese Halliburton. But, you know, wave that towel, Tyrese. It's okay. Your time will come in 2028. But I think Steph Curry is definitely going to have that Curry flurry moment. And I think the team sort of wants him to have that.
Yeah, we're waiting for that 5 from 7 from downtown. Could it happen today? We'll find out. But the one thing we do know over in France, home court advantage does matter. Team France knocked off Canada today, playing that same underdog role. Carlin getting 6 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook from Germany, a total of 156. Can the good vibes continue for the home country in France today, or does it end in a Germany victory?
And they beat Canada in a very different way than I think everybody would have scripted going into that one, right? Like, Rudy Gobert was nailed to the bench, didn't play much, and Victor Wembanyama had a terrible game. It was Lassort, the dancing bear, Gerson Yabusele, who had terrific games, and they really punished Canada and bullied them and moved them around the court. I don't think that's going to be the case against Germany. Germany is a much more physical team. Germany is a much more experienced team in these moments. And by the way, guys, Germany hasn't lost much together as this unit. They won the World Cup last year, went undefeated. They're coming into these Olympic Games, and they're not taking too many losses going through this tournament either. So I do expect Germany to win the game. It's going to be a little closer than people think, and I think France is going to cover. I do think France is going to cover. So you're going to be biting your nails. You're going to be biting your nails if you do have that cover. But, Germany should win the game.
6-point spread in a very low total of 156. Compare that to the American semifinal matchup against the Serbians at 188 and a hook. That's going to be some grind it out style of basketball, and the host nation is going to be going crazy today in Paris. Germany, along with the United States, the only two teams left in the Olympic basketball tournament on the men's side that are a perfect 4-0. It's why Carlin, now the United States has remained a hefty favorite to win gold at minus 600, and the Germans are a favorite in minus money to win a silver medal at minus 160. A victory today, of course, for the United States and Germany, that would guarantee at least a medal in a matchup in the gold medal match. How do you see the medals being handed out at the end of the Olympic basketball tournament this weekend?
I'm going to go skip right to the bronze medal game, because we know that, I just said Team USA is going to be in the gold medal matchup. Germany's going to get there. Silver for Germany. Team USA takes gold. So that bronze medal game is going to be a pretty good one, and it's going to be a home court advantage where it actually helps the team in France. And I do think that France will walk away with a bronze medal after it's all said and done. And this will be the moment that French basketball fans look back and said, you know what? We hosted the Olympic Games, and our guy, Victor Wembanyama, had a moment. And that's going to happen in that third place game. People are going to remember that for a lifetime, and he's going to, be a sort of the spark that maybe starts to have future basketball players decide to play the game instead of soccer. This is a moment for Victor Wembanyama to kind of be there for people to kind of have that linchpin and say, hey, this is the moment that he became our guy.
Plus 250 for France to earn a bronze medal in the Olympic Games. Carlin Gay from Sporting News. We appreciate the time as always. MLB playoff races up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. The month is August. Next up, September, and then, of course, October. That's the heart of the postseason in Major League Baseball. We are nearing the home stretch of a long marathon that is 162 games in an MLB regular season. So let's update the postseason picture in both leagues. We start with the AL. Here's the numbers right now in the expanded postseason, seeds 1-6. The Orioles and the Yankees. The O's a slight advantage despite having the same record as the Yanks based on the tiebreaker for that American League East divisional top spot. So the Orioles have the best record in the AL technically and in the American League East. A half game in front of the Guardians, who have a substantial lead in the American League Central. The Astros and the Mariners continue to flip-flop for the top spot in the AL West. The Astros have a half-game lead at this moment. The three wild-card teams currently DRS in the American League, the Yankees, Twins, Royals. That is the picture as of right now.
Yes, and we're also taking a look. Let's go over the overall standings in the American League, right? Just to take a look at how these teams' records and how they line up. It's no surprise, once again, two best teams in the American League just by record-wise, Ben. That's the Orioles and the Yankees. They're going to come down the stretch, jockey for position, a major advantage to the team that's going to win the AL East. But outside of that, the one team, again, when we, you know, we've sent out tweets here on the Sports Grid Network, which clearly says me, like, look, the Orioles and the Yankees, two best teams in the American League, bar none. And I think it's holding up now because you're looking at the Guardians, and there's no shame in the Guardians game. Just a few days ago, they were looking at the best record overall in Major League Baseball, but now losers of five straight games. I understand the ebbs and flows of the Major League Baseball schedule. The Phillies were going through it. Now it looks like they're starting to pull themselves out. The Guardians are right in the middle of it with a five-game loss. This is why I look towards the late games in the season and also, obviously, first couple weeks of October, trying to advance in the playoffs. I just don't know if the Guardians have enough firepower here from a pitching perspective and a hitting perspective to get over the hump. And what I mean by the hump is taking down the Orioles and the Yankees, who are stacked from a frontline starting staff, hopefully if they're healthy, from a bullpen perspective, and the 1-9 lineup each and every day. Twins, Royals, Red Sox, Astros, all good stories. We'll talk about them making the playoffs. But for my money, once again, in the American League, it's the Orioles and the Yankees, and it's everybody else. And the Guardians making me look technically smart about that right now, losing five straight games.
DRS, everybody in the bigs has played 113 games, which means we have less than 50 for all 30 clubs around MLB. Some teams like the Cubbies and the Dodgers have played 117, so they're even closer to 162. The reason I bring that up is because we can start to categorize these games as the home stretch. As for the American League East, the Yankees right now technically tied record-wise at 68-47 alongside Baltimore. In the pinstripes, a -175 odds on favorite to win the AL East on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But the O's have the tiebreaker. They've taken 6 of the 10 games against the Yanks so far this year. The two teams will meet up in the Bronx in the second to last series of this season. How decisive could that be down the final week of the regular season? That remains to be seen. The Guardians on a slide. They've dropped 5 in a row. Now only a 3.5 game lead in the American League Central, but when you look at the odds, still -170. And again, back and forth they go atop the American League West. Does somebody want to take a stronghold of this division? Does not seem to be the case. The Astros -185 as the division favorites in front of Seattle. Houston holds a half game lead now over the Mariners. Now, here's the wild card watch around the American League. Whoever doesn't win the American League East between the O's and the Bombers, that team is more than likely going to be the top American League wild card team. Currently, it's the Yanks. The Twins have pretty much been in that second spot of three in the AL wild card chase for a good majority of this season. Then you have the Royals and the Red Sox. KC avoids the sweep at home yesterday, thanks to Bobby Witt Jr. So the Royals, a game and a half advantage over Boston for the third and final American League wild card position.
Yeah, not as crazy as in the National League, certainly that we'll get to, but if you're looking at the Yankees, Twins, right, and Royals, comfortable in that spot along with the Red Sox, and the Red Sox are a game and a half out of that spot, but you can clearly see them a game and a half with, you know, August and September to go. You can make up those numbers. You start to see the Seattle Mariners down there at 4.5 games. Well, you better just take that out of the equation. You better win that division or else you're not getting into the playoffs. So it seems like, technically, yep, for me, it is a 4-game race here in this, with the Yankees slash Orioles, then you have the Twins, Royals, and then the Red Sox, you're just outside of it. The Tampa Bay Rays, 5.5 back. I think that's too long. Obviously, the Detroit Tigers, 8.5 games back. They're not making it into it. And again, you could talk about the Rangers, where I think they're now out of the divisional race as they're playing themselves out of it, as opposed to making in a wild card run. So it seems to me like that cutoff is going to be at the Red Sox, and yeah, those teams will be jockeying for position the rest of the way. I just don't see it any other way. Like, again, with the Rays, 5.5 games back, could they get hot? Yes, but they basically told their team at the deadline, look, we're not really going to fortify this lineup and make a big run here.
Which would be fascinating in the American League Central to see three of the five teams, the Guardians as the champs, the Twins, and the Royals, earn playoff spots. KC minus 164 to make the postseason in the American League. Boston, even money, plus 100. And I think Donnie's point there was very sound on Seattle. The Mariners plus 112 to see the American League playoffs, plus 145 to win the American League West. They're only a half game behind Houston in that component. The M's DRS, to your point, 4.5 games out of a wild card spot. So whether it's the Astros or the Mariners, those two clubs' best chances of seeing the American League postseason just taking care of business in the division.
Yeah, you better do that. And that's what you have to focus on, which sometimes takes, you know, many times you take a look and say, hey, let's just scoreboard watch. You don't really have to do that. You're scoreboard watching basically one team here for the Mariners, just worrying about what the Houston Astros are doing. Sure, winning on the field. And they, can they overcome and say, you know what? The Astros were great down the stretch. We were too. We lost out on the division, but made the wild card. Yes, there's still an opportunity, but the most feasible way to get in is just to beat the team that's just in front of you at this point right now. So that singular focus for the Mariners, Ben, might be able to help them down the stretch, because you're not watching six teams you have to climb over with 3.5 games between you. You're just worried about one team here. And also, when you win the division, to the victors go the spoils here, where you actually get home field advantage in round number one.
Yeah, it's a huge point, DRS, and also start to pay attention to strength of schedule around Major League Baseball. Kansas City, second hardest schedule remaining. Boston, 13th most difficult schedule, much more middle of the pack. Unfortunately for KC, no more games remaining against the Chicago White Sox in the division. Now to the NL, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking at the National League postseason picture, but a breaking news update from the AL. The Chicago White Sox have reportedly made a move. According to Underdog MLB, the Chicago White Sox have fired their manager, Pedro Grifol, who has been the manager there for 2 years. What did I say it wrong? Is it Grifol?
No. I'm just like the whole scenario is just fantastic at this. I mean, just doing this guy. Yeah. By the way, the only objective here, Ben, for us with the White Sox firing Grifol is that you got to have to go back to Ozzie Guillen. No, is that like odd? Like it's got to be 100%. Ozzie Guillen goes right back into there. It has to be that way.
I mean, it really does have to be. He's on the coverage. I know he works for the White Sox in terms of their television coverage. And I saw a great clip of him calling in the other night because he wasn't in studio when Grifol finally led the White Sox to a victory to snap the historic 21-game losing skid. But why do it the day after Chicago snapped the skid? Yeah, they lost the rubber match yesterday in Oakland. Was that the final nail in the coffin? We're back to 61 losses. Below 500. What's the point?
They said, look, man, you blew that 2-0 lead. We just can't watch anymore. But I do understand what the concept was here. You're not like, let's just say he did lose 22 and they fired him. What new manager is coming in? Like, hey, by the way, hit the ground running. Let's see how much he can extend this historic losing streak. So it sort of made sense where it's like, okay, we can't put an interim manager in place during this lengthy, long streak. Hopefully he'll break this sooner than later. We'll can him the minute he breaks it. And then the new manager comes in and basically has a clean slate at this point, not looking over his shoulder with that massive losing streak, but firing the manager as if that was his fault with that travesty of a team. team. But again, sometimes the players can't go. The manager always can go, and that's what happened here in Chicago.
I mean, it's really the ownership looking at you, Mr. Reinsdorf, 89 and 190. That's the record in about a year and a half, or a little bit more than a year and a half, for Pedro Grifol in Chicago. 61 and 101 a year ago, 28 and 89 currently for the White Sox. That's an overall win percentage of 0.319. Listen, he might be the scapegoat. He might be the figurehead. He has now been fired. The White Sox officially releasing that information as well, that Pedro Grifol has been fired as the manager on the South Side. Oh, boy. Anyway, as we go around the National League, here is what the playoff picture looks like at this moment, and we have seen some changes. Not in the divisional frontrunners, the Phillies, the Dodgers, or the Brewers in the National League Central, but the National League wild card that around the All-Star break was highly competitive. We had six teams really separated by about two and a half games. Well, the teams out of the National League West cannot seem to lose. The Arizona Diamondbacks, 12 victories in their last 14 games. 14-4 since the All-Star break. The San Diego Padres keep winning as well. Four consecutive wins, I believe 13-3 since the All-Star break. They have taken command of those top two spots in the National League wild card, and the Braves have lost four in a row at a bad time. They fall to that third and final spot.
It's crazy, and you're right. It's just the pressure that you're putting on from two teams we expected to be decent teams coming into the season, the Padres and the Diamondbacks, playing great baseball. Now, if you extend it down, the Braves should have been just walking into that first overall wild card seed, but they've been so injured, so damaged right now at this point, and they just can't hit. They're falling by the wayside. The Mets, Cardinals, and the Giants, but here's where the problem comes in once again, because, yes, we're going to say three teams have to make the wild card, but I'm telling you right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates now have lost three straight baseball games. They sit four games back of that wild card. I'm telling you right now, just keep an eye on it, because if you do have a ticket in your pocket for Skeens, he's a wonderful pitcher. But we were talking just 2 weeks ago, like, hey, look at the Pirates. They're right a half game out of the wild card. They can do this year, which was great for those tickets. If the Pirates continue to slip where they're 6 and 7 games back with 2 weeks to play, you are not going to see Paul Skeens over those final two starts just to get innings in. Keep an eye on the Pirates. If you have that Skeens ticket, you better start cheering on the Padres and the Diamondbacks to falter here, so at least they don't run away with those wild card spots, pushing you back further and further and further.
DRS, we're starting to see, though, those levels of separation. As you said, the Buccos now four games out of a wild card spot, even the Cardinals two games out. And it does not seem like San Diego or Arizona are slowing down anytime soon. Of course, they're not going to stay this hot for the remainder of the 45 or 50 games left in this MLB regular season. But the Padres, 13-3 since the All-Star break. Arizona, 14-4 since the All-Star break. As you look around the divisions in the National League, the Phils, a 7.5 game lead over Atlanta. The Brew Crew, a 6-game lead in the National League Central. The Dodgers actually seeing their lead tighten, only 3 games up. They've won the division 10 of the last 11 years. Hour 3 comes your way now.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.